On average, there are nearly 500,000 non-victims of sexual assault each year in the United States. Can you imagine how many go unreported? Lynn Prazik wants other survivors of sexual assault to know that it's never too late to speak out and make a difference. Lynn breaks his own 50-year silence in My Father's Letters of Healing on the Quest for the Truth, a gripping, provocative memoir tracing the intimate details of Lynn's complicated relationship with his two fathers, his biological father, and the priest who molested him when he was just 11 years old. Our guest for today, Lynn Prazik. Lynn, the inspiration for the book actually is based on real-life experience, if I understand it correctly. Can you go from there?
Yeah, that is correct. My experience is based on a one-time incident I had at age 11 with my parish priest. I went to a Catholic grammar school growing up in Bayonne, New Jersey. And this was a one-time incident, and not the horrifying sexual abuse tales that you hear and the suffering that so many victims have experienced. Mine was a one-time event that was essentially a fondling, but it happened in my parents' bed in our home. So that part was obviously traumatic and disturbing enough, but what was more disturbing was the betrayal of my parents and the priest and the Catholic Church for the next 50 years, which was essentially met with silence.
So I think I'm hearing you say that if there had been an immediate consequence and a proactive follow-up once this incident became real life, you know, as you told about it, that it would have had a much more therapeutic benefit to you. Is that pretty well the story?
Yeah, absolutely. The issue was that I said something. So many people do not, for all of the reasons that people do not, out of shame, out of guilt, out of fear. But I did say something immediately. And the result of that was that this priest was gone from our parish forever. So something happened. I said something and he was gone. However, no one ever explained to me what that was and what happened and what transpired to make that happen, other than him being totally gone forever.
So you have had to deal with this for the remaining part of your life. Is this something as like a clock? It's always ticking in the back of your mind? Or are there other incidents, events, things that you see, things that you hear, maybe things that you sense or feel that stimulates these thoughts to rush back to that moment? Or is it always there?
It was always there. And what I've always been trying to do is just get confirmation that it actually happened. If my parents had told me the morning after that this happened, this was a bad thing, he is gone, this is taken care of, let's move on, maybe I would have been okay as an 11-year-old. But always in my mind was, what happened? What did I do? What power did I have to make a priest disappear from the parish and never come back? But every time I addressed that with my parents, they told me, you don't say these things about priests. We don't talk about these things in our family. And all of these other messages that keep these secrets from becoming out in the open. Because you have to remember, Roy, this was 1970. The whole clergy abuse scandals were very much kept in the dark and undercover. That didn't start happening until the 90s. So back then, things were taken care of at a local level, meaning the parish. I can only speculate what happened with mine, because obviously we're not going to see church records and obviously not going to get anything from my parents or the priest. Everyone is now deceased. So I'm left to, again, speculate and put together in my own mind what actually happened. So the writing has been helpful. Talking about it has been helpful. Just to come to terms with the incident itself and the subsequent healing that I'm still in the process of doing.
Well, I guess the other question that would come to your mind would be, what made me, as an 11-year-old, appear to be or be vulnerable to this older person that, you know, if you look at the Cartman drama triangle, that made him want to be the persecutor to you as an 11-year-old boy? What attracted you to this predator?
Well, I believe I was targeted because I fit the mold of the persons most likely to be targeted. I was young, I was curious, I was intelligent, but also I was from a family who did not have the means or the time to spend with me. Both of my parents worked, dad all day, mom all night, and to be asked by a parish priest to come along on an outing or to be under his guidance, that was an honor. So along with me, we were all altar boys, the certain group of us who we would be taken out and shown things that we didn't have the means, our family didn't have the means to do. For example, we'd go horseback riding, we'd go bowling, we would go to the Jersey Shore for trips. This priest had money. Our parents, we did not have, could not afford to do these things. So the fact that I was available and essentially being offered to this priest made me and my fellow altar boys targets.
And you feel that your other altar boys, those that were familiar with you, maybe even friends of you, have gone through the same ordeal. Have any of them ever mentioned it?
I suspect someone has. None of them have ever mentioned it, and there were only a few who I'm speaking with. Some barely even remember him, this priest, Father Duncanson, and I can say his name. That's not a secret, if indeed that is his name, because what happens, Roy, after a priest has been moved around from parish to parish, which is what the Catholic Church and the Archdiocese tend to do, sometimes priests change their names, have their names changed, move out of the country, disappear altogether. So I'm only assuming that that is his name. Obviously, I can't see the church records or the police records of this, but I've been trying to get this word out in the hopes that someone else may come forward to say that maybe they were abused, and I understand all the reasons for them not to be able to do that. But what I'm doing is trying to at least have some accountability on behalf of this priest and the church and have him recognized as a credible offender. So there is a website where all the priests who have offended are listed. And if someone can look at that website and say, he abused me as well, perhaps that might give others the confidence to come forward and make a claim. I mean, people can still file a claim against the church and the police department and may be eligible for damages, depending on where you live and the statute of limitations and all. So that might be a way of helping people heal. But first, they have to come forward and acknowledge that this was the person who abused them. And that's what I'm hoping to do, is that if someone has a story or a secret and it needs to come out, that I encourage them to do that.
Well, I think the part of the conversation that keeps coming back to mind to me is that it seems that many times we hear something similar to what you're talking about, but the event was much more intensive. But whether the event was something as, you know, as you said, fondling, and that being compared to something that was much more intense, such as sexual involvement, that in either event, the victim continues to pay the price, in your case, many 50 years.
Yes. Yes, this has hung with me for all this time, and in fact, ruined the relationship that I had with my own father. So there is the other damage from that. So that has been a challenge. And again, even though he is deceased, and I have made my peace with that, the writing of this book, which is my father's Letters of Healing on a Quest for the Truth, that has been very therapeutic for me, the act of writing that out. And the fact that I did experience only a fondling, this could have gone very sideways, had a few other things been different. So I feel that I was fortunate in that I was the one who got away and the one who escaped, because I can be pretty confident that I was not the first subject of his abuse. Chances are, if I was abused, others were also.
Yeah, you obviously weren't the first, and obviously, but you would think not the last. Give our listeners one more time the title of the book and where it might be available.
Sure. The name of the book is My Father's Letters of Healing on a Quest for the Truth. And it's available on Amazon, and you can just type in my name, LenPrazych.com, LenPrazych.com, which will take you to my webpage and the Amazon link to purchase the book.
Well, I have got a feeling that there are some in our listening audience that are still carrying around that wound, and they have never let it come out. And thanks to you for telling and sharing your story, you never know what doors that it will open to where somebody can get along with their life. Len, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, and thank you for your time today, sir.
You're very welcome, Roy. Thank you, and thank you to all your listeners.